Lucy, I'm home.
Hello and welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm Erica.
And I'm Ziva.
And on today's episode, we'll be highlighting the life of the queen of comedy herself, Lucille Ball.
I think it's so important before we get into shows, dissecting the shows of, you know, I Love Lucy and even some of her radio shows. I think it's really important to know who she was as a person. And so that's why we decided to do this intro episode to kind of give background on who she is.
You know, you're right. It's amazing that we're able to have so much content for a podcast, and so many movies and documentaries have been made of her life because of the influence and everything that she created during I Love Lucy, before, and even after.
And I think it's important to remember that, you know, she was a trailblazer in so many different areas of her life. I mean, later on in this podcast, we'll talk about some of her firsts. And I mean, not just her firsts, but firsts for national television, firsts for women in entertainment and things like that. So
many firsts. I mean, exactly. Just her show alone, you'll touch on it, I'm sure, but things that weren't even allowed to be said on air were done from I Love Lucy. Her being the first female of so many things is something that's just makes her story so much greater.
I mean, even the idea of an interracial couple on TV.
Yes. I
mean, you know, they fought so hard to get Richard Denning to play her husband because they didn't think that people would accept this interracial couple.
Yes, they would say, what is an red-blooded American girl doing with a Cuban? And well, we've been married for 12 years, so I think we've got it down okay.
So we will start with their birth.
Yes.
Which was August 6th. She was born in Jamestown, New York. She was born to Henry Ball and Desiree Hunt Ball. I think it's interesting, well, it's not interesting, but Lucille Ball's name, middle name, is Desiree as well. So
do you know what the nickname was for Desiree?
No.
Dee Dee. Which is also the same one they used for her mother, because her mother's name was Desiree. And they would call her Dee Dee.
Cute. When I saw that her middle name was Desiree, I went, it's kind of cool that Desi Lou, I mean, it's Desi and Lucy, but it kind of sounds like Desiree. Just all mixed together. They were destined to be together.
In fact, what I did learn, you know, shortly, maybe after watching one or two documentaries, is that Desi Arnaz is the one who first called her Lucy. Everybody called her Lucille. And so when reading her autobiography, she kind of was caught off guard that he called her Lucy, and that kind of stuck.
Maybe they didn't shorten names like crazy back then.
Right.
I always introduced myself as Luciana growing up, and they'd be like, oh, hey, Lucy. I went, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Catch
I just said, my name's Luciana.
Right.
So, that's interesting. I did not know that.
So her childhood
was rough. Her father died when she was three of typhoid fever.
Typhoid fever, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And when he passed away, on the day that her father died, a bird flew into the room, so where her family was mourning. And it, you know, if you've ever had a bird fly into your house and into an enclosed space, they freak out and it gets real scary because they want to get out and there's lots of people. And that actually ended up becoming, you know, a lifelong trauma and a lifelong fear for her, that she wouldn't even have pictures of birds or stay in a hotel with birds.
She would associate the bird with trauma. And chaos. I think that she would always associate birds with chaos and something bad happening, and so she always had that phobia of saying, when that's around, when a bird is around, something bad will happen. And that came from her father's death.
So Lucy's mom ended up remarrying Ed Peterson in 1915. And he didn't really like the kids very much. Mm-hmm. And they had problems with money as well. And so Lucy had to move in with Ed's father. I believe it was her and her brother, right?
Yes. They
both moved in. And they lived there for a while. But when she was 11 in 1922, she did get reunited with them. So she wasn't away from them for her whole life, just for a portion of the time.
And I think what they would do is, he wasn't, like you mentioned, a big fan of children. So her and her brother Fred were sent off to his parents. But also they would travel for work, Lucille's mother and Ed, because work was so scarce in that time, in that area where they lived. So she spent a lot of time by herself and with her imagination.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that can be helpful sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But a while ago, you were telling me about a story with Lucy and a gun. And I think that you should tell people that, because this is another traumatic event.
Yes, it was. They were living in Jamestown and with Grandpa Hunt, that's Lucille's grandfather. They would have the neighborhood children come over, and he allowed one of the children to play with a gun that he had, which is incredibly irresponsible to think of, but maybe back then it wasn't so unheard of, because maybe there's hunting, maybe it's just the norm. But they were playing with this gun, the neighbor's son, and it went off, and it hit perfectly in the spine, where it paralyzed the child, which of course traumatized the family, and they sued Lucille's grandfather's estate, essentially, or his home, his property, and they took everything. They took his home, they took his car, they were broke. So she always associated, it was such a good time in her life. She was actually having a good time in her life. I think she had just started doing stage acting at that time, getting her feet wet with stage acting. And she was happily reading reviews of how well she did when that happened. So something good was happening, and then something traumatic happened. So they lost everything with that lawsuit after that child was paralyzed.
Absolutely crazy. I mean, I was reading a little bit more about it, and I read that he was 8 years old. His name is Warren Erickson.
Okay.
And he actually wasn't the one with the gun at the time. Mm-hmm. But he went out there because he thought it was super cool. Mm-hmm. They were doing target practices, and his mom called him home.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ran right in front of the girl who's firing the gun. And mm-hmm. I remember thinking when I read that, I'm an archer instructor, and it's incredibly hard to get kids to stay behind the line. And to even think about having an 8-year-old around while you're doing that is just scary. No, it definitely an 8-year-old that's not related to you, you know?
Yeah.
But it's so hard, because he was just trying to, you know, make a fun time for everyone. And mm-hmm. then that happened.
Yeah.
I also read that kind of gave Lucy a fear or distrust of police and authority like that. So
mm-hmm.
that's interesting. But good news, like you were saying, she did audition for a chorus line spot in a local production, and she got it mm-hmm. at 12 years old. And a little bit after that, when she was 15 in 1926, she really wanted to keep going, do something big with her life. And she went to a New York City drama school. What was that called? Do you know what the school was?
I don't, but I can find out for you.
Yay. I didn't even think to look it up, but she went to this drama school, and in 1927, just a year later, her mother got a note from the school, basically saying, you know what, Lucy's wasting her time and our time.
Right.
Get her out. She's too shy.
So she went to the John Murray Anderson School is okay. when she was enrolled in 1925. Her mother sent her there because also not just because she had an itch for acting and an itch for, you know, comedy, but also to keep her out of trouble, because I think she was a fan of the boys. So she was very much running around with the boys. And so I think that was also a distraction for her mother to send her there.
Yeah, I think so. I've read and heard people say, you know, they made a huge mistake and if only they had known. But I think it's hard to really place blame. They put her on the path that she mm-hmm. went on, you know, and who knows what would have happened if she stayed at that school. You know, she might not have had the same life, you know, life path as she did from leaving it. And and at the time, right. She was too shy. So they did the right thing, I think, you know.
And she struggled a lot in that school because, you know, a fun fact that that class that she attended, she had one of the who ended up being one of the largest stage actresses and movie actresses. Bette Davis was her classmate. Now, when you go up against Bette Davis, she, Lucille, is goofy, lanky, untrained, and then you have Bette Davis, who's trained in Shakespeare, who's a dramatic actress. And so she always felt less than when she's up against such a powerhouse like a Bette Davis, even back then. So of course, her going up there reading her lines that she's given by the instructor, she felt incredibly small, even though she was probably the tallest one there. She felt incredibly small, and they would always kind of make fun of her, mock her a little bit, make her feel like she wasn't ready for this world of acting. And she really wasn't, because that wasn't what her calling was.
Right. And I think that even still, I think there's a, you know, not many people, if any, are born ready for acting, you know, and they have to get over the awkward phase and figure mm-hmm. out, ooh, you know, what they're good at. And I think she did that. She did a good job.
Yes.
At figuring out what she was good at and what worked for her.
So after she left the school, then what did she pursue after that?
She went to try to get roles on Broadway. Mm-hmm. She opted to use the stage name Diane Belmont. I actually didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But as I was doing more research about her, I found that out. Mm-hmm. But she was having a bit of trouble finding work as an actress. And so she became a model because she's stunning. I think on our Instagram, we'll post some photos of her from her modeling career. But
she certainly had the physique for it. She was
very,
very tall, very thin, very fair. Her skin was very fair, and she was an excellent a Carnegie model?
Yes. Yeah, so she started off as a model, really getting momentum as a model. And then more and more people started to take notice of her. And so in 1933, she went to Hollywood as a movie showgirl in one of the 12 Goldwyn girls, and later became a successful actress, as we know, and we can talk about more, but she appeared in more than 75 films,
right?
Which is absolutely crazy.
Now, her becoming a Goldwyn girl was actually accidental and by chance. We almost really? Didn't have her because, yes, as Sam Goldwyn was looking for girls for the movie called Roman Scandals in 1933, and they needed, one of the girls was not allowed to go from New York to LA. Her mother did not allow her to, I guess, travel that far on her own. So they, you know, took her off the roster, and apparently maybe one of the modeling agents, maybe somebody just in casting, approached Lucille, and they're like, listen, one of the girls opted out. Do you want to join? And she's like, yeah, I want to go. Yeah. I want to do this. I want to try it out. Even if it doesn't work out, at least I got the experience. And so that lightning in a bottle chance to get on the train and go to Hollywood is just, it only happens in the movies. It only happens once in a lifetime. And then she ended up being one of the Goldwyn girls
That
in
is
Roman Scandals.
really cool. Yeah, that definitely is. And I'm glad she jumped on it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure she had doubts, you know, about moving and going someplace.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad she did, because in 1940, she met Desi Arnaz while filming Too Many Girls. I read a story about how, she had just come from filming.
Yes.
And so he didn't think a whole lot of her when she came from filming. And then he saw her again, you know, after she was put together a bit more. Right. And he was like, whoa, different woman.
Well, I think the first time he saw her was backstage at backstage lot. And so she was dressed up like she was bruised up, like she was muddied, because she had just filmed a fight scene. And so she looks a mess, and she looks at him. She's attracted to him. She's fell in love probably at first sight, and he just doesn't pay her any mind. But then he sees her all dressed up, and he goes, no, you've seen me before, but I was a little less put together, a little less glamorous than I am now. So and I think next episode we'll be speaking more of Desi's career and more of how he came to meet her. But yes, he was in Too Many Girls, which he was on the stage Broadway edition first before he did the film and came across from New York to LA to film the movie version of it.
Okay. I read a quote from Lucille Ball that said, it wasn't love at first sight. It took 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, yes. That's good.
And what's interesting is that she was 6 years older.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. This is really interesting because people at the time, that wasn't something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost scandalous. And they did lie about her age and about his age.
Mm-hmm.
I think they became the same age when they lied about it.
Yeah.
Both claimed to have been born in 1914.
Okay.
It's crazy that they had to even think about lying about that.
And 6 years age, it's not a difference. It's not that big an age gap, but it's just different in that time when a woman is older.
Right. And it is interesting because I think even though Lucille Ball was married to a younger man, she still carried those prejudices on because she had problems with her son dating older women.
Yes.
And nothing against the women, but the fact that she thought, you're too old for my son.
Right. That is interesting. Yes, because even though you become protective as a mother, and you perhaps think, what are a woman's intentions? What is a person doing with my son that's much older? And your mind goes places, I think.
Yes, that I can see that. Mm-hmm. Already mama bearing, and he's only 15 months old. So I can't wait until women come into his life.
Mm-hmm.
On November 30th, 1940, Lucy and Desi married in Connecticut. They actually didn't plan it well. It wasn't, or Desi didn't plan it well, and he hadn't gotten a ring for her, and all the jewelry stores were closed. I don't know why, but they were. Mm-hmm. And so he had to give her a ring that he got from a drugstore. And I think it's really sweet that she proudly wore that ring for the entire marriage. You know, it wasn't, she didn't need something flashy and, you know, super expensive from him. She just wanted to be married to him.
She was just happy to be married to him. And I think as time goes on and we tell more of their story, she really loved this man with an absolute passion till the very end.
Oh yeah.
Even after they both married others.
They were still friends, or close at least, you know.
Yes. I watched this a portion of, now that we're hitting on this, not to, you know, get ahead of ourselves, but I saw a small snippet of an interview of Lucy Arnaz, the daughter, where she said on Desi's deathbed, Lucille calls and says, you know, I just want to let you know how much I've loved you. And and this is post both of them having spouses, second spouses. And he says, well, I've always loved you. And, you know, I Love Lucy was never just a title, like we both know. So it's just interesting that it lasted so long.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of relationships don't last breakups, and definitely, and we'll talk about this later. Mm-hmm. But relationships that were, in my opinion, kind of turmoily, you know, mm-hmm. there was cheating and alcohol and craziness, mm-hmm. and yes. they still, you know, loved each yeah. other. And that's amazing. That shows how strong their love was.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it worked out well for us as audiences, as viewers. It worked out well for us that they did have that, even though in their real life, it wasn't very happy most of the time.
Right. And yeah. So let's see. I want to just give a quick shout out to Lucy's brother, Frederick. Mm-hmm. It's kind of off topic, but we mentioned him a teeny bit, and mm-hmm. turns out that he actually did follow in her footsteps and went into the world of entertainment, but he was more on the managing side. So he was a musical manager in the 1940s and 50s for Desi and Riz. And then later on, he sat on the board at the directors of the Desilu Productions. So he, you know, had a big hand in everything. And I didn't know that Lucy had a brother. So
yeah. And his name is Fred.
Yes.
So, yeah. And so I think also when Desi would go off on tour for his band, Fred, sure, he served as a manager, but he also served as an eye for Lucille, because, you know, Desi was not always on his best behavior when away from Lucille. So Fred would always report back what, you know, was seen when he was on the road.
He's got her own personal
spy,
private eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't it's have to pay anyone.
She had to do that, but yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Okay. So in 1953, My Favorite Husband came on the air. We talked about this a little bit in our last episode, but that is what's based off of the book, Mr. and Mrs. Cougar, only meant to be one episode. And then they realized, wow, this is really good. Let's keep doing it. And in this one, Richard Denning did play her husband, Mr. Cougar.
From that show is where we got all of the sound effects that she does. And it was sponsored by Jell-O, which was a big thing, because all her spots, all her commercials came from that sponsor, or for that sponsor. And all the sounds that we hear from I Love Lucy is what derived from the radio show.
So I just did a quick look up. They found out when My Favorite Husband aired, in the 26th episode, they changed it to the Coopers because people were getting confused with their names, the Cougarts, and the band leader, Xavier Cougart, who was a real yes. person. So they changed the name.
You will come back around to Xavier Cougart when we do Desi's profile, because that's who he initially started working with.
Yes. So My Favorite Husband was such a great hit that they wanted to take this on the road. They wanted to make it a show, mm-hmm. the I Love Lucy show.
Right.
Before we talk about that, we should mention that Lucy Arnaz was born July 17th, 1951. I didn't know the exact timing, but was she pregnant while she was doing the vaudeville acts?
Yes. And do you know why it is that they went on tour?
Yes, because they thought that people wouldn't like an interracial couple.
Right.
And so they went on tour to prove that, no, people are really going to like this. And mm-hmm. we can prove it to you. And if this goes well, then do our show.
Right. Right. Because they were very hesitant of having Desi Arnaz be the husband on the show, even though they were married for 12 years at that point. And so, yeah, they took their Vaudeville act, which had the very famous act that they did on I Love Lucy. Do you know what that is?
Who was that, the from the original pilot, the lost pilot?
The Cuban Pete.
Oh, was it?
Yes,
Okay.
they would always perform Cuban Pete, and then she would come out as Sally Sweet and do her part, and then also do the, like you mentioned, the seal act,
Yes.
which was always, it's always a riot to watch that. But yeah, they would take it around and make sure that take it around the country just to prove that audiences would be very receptive to them as a couple.
Okay, here's a question for you, since you asked me about if I knew why they toured. Do you know who their sponsor was?
Philip Morris.
Yes, and they had a really hard time coming up with a sponsor for I Love Lucy. Did you know that Lucille Ball had a problem with Philip Morris?
That
Not
I did
the
not.
company, but their cigarettes. She didn't like
No,
them.
I did not know
She
that.
smoked Chesterfield cigarettes. So
Yes.
she would take out the Philip Morris cigarettes,
Yes.
keep the pack, put the Chesterfield back in because they had to smoke or mention smoking a lot
Yes.
in the show.
Yes. Yes. They always had a cigarette in their hand.
Right, exactly. And they were supposed to be Philip Morris, but hers were always Chesterfields because she didn't like Philip Morris.
That is funny. You know what? Now that I think about it, she was also a Chesterfield girl when she was younger, correct? She was always on the posters, I
Oh,
believe.
okay, maybe.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
her love for Chesterfield goes way back. That's probably why she was very faithful to those cigarettes.
Yes. And she is. I just looked it up, so we'll definitely post that on our on the Instagram, just so you can see those. But so once they got the sponsor and they were able to go in, Lucy turned 40. And when she turned 40, just a few months after that, October 15th, 1951, I Love Lucy premiered on CBS, which was incredible. I mean, the whole idea that she just had a child and she was 40,
Yes.
it gives me hope.
Yes, because 40, even back then in 1951, is like over the hill. It's especially for a woman, especially in Hollywood, and especially having a child at that age. And that wasn't there. They weren't done having kids, so it blows your mind that at 40 she's has over 75 movies under her belt, and she's like, "Hold on, I'm not done. I'm about
I'm
to
still
change
doing more.
television. I'm about to change television history. Give me a minute." And here we are.
All right. So, talking about changing television history, our first really big first in 1952, Lucy was pregnant with Desi Jr. And
Yes.
she was the first woman in television history to show her pregnancy.
Not only that, but say the word pregnant.
Yes. And I read that they had to get the scripts approved by like a priest and a rabbi
Yes.
before they could air it because they wanted to make sure that they were okay.
Yes, they read the script because what's quite adorable, but also funny to think about now is when you watch these episodes, they go into the bedroom. What do you see? You see two queen beds.
Right,
You see,
right.
or two twin beds, maybe, but separate beds. And then somehow we now have a child.
Right,
And
and I mean the idea of sex wasn't portrayed on TV like it is now. It's not something that was talked about. It's very hush hush, and that's why you see the separate beds.
Right, and so you'd have to hide a pregnancy behind a couch, behind a door, big clothes, and so you couldn't even address the fact that she was, quote unquote, expecting, and not say the word pregnant on TV because it was very taboo, in the 1950s to say that.
It's incredible. And in 1953, January 19th, 1953, your favorite episode.
Yes. This is my favorite episode. It's when she it's the The one with the biggest viewership when she has Desi Jr., which is little Ricky on the Keith Thibodeau is the actor who plays him. Well, you know, in the older years, but as a baby back in 1953. To me, it's great to watch him, Ricky, Desi, preparing to go to the hospital. Yes. And, you know, saying the time has come.
The time has come.
No. And they're, and him, Lucy, and Fred, or sorry, Ethel and Fred are all doing a dress rehearsal. And it never goes as planned. When she actually comes in and says, this is it. This is it.
And just craziness happens. And then, of course, he's got the show. But
at the club.
Yeah, we'll save the rest of it going into that because we don't want to ruin it.
Right, right.
But
so that was fun. That's my favorite episode.
Yeah, it was aired to an audience of 54 million people. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Okay, in 1957, they had already shot 179 episodes. That was the final episode of I Love Lucy, the final one aired. Yes. I do want to point out that Lucy's mother was in the audience for every show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and both mothers showed up most of the time.
Yeah, and you can actually hear Lucy's mom in the shows. But there's a bunch of hijinks or like a stunt that she's doing. You'll hear like an uh-oh, and that's her mom.
Uh-oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I read that even on ones where she couldn't make it, they would put in her... You know, they had so many of her recordings that they would just throw mm-hmm. them in.
My favorite of now that you're speaking of audience sounds is when you randomly hear Desi cackling in the background. You know, maybe Lucy's doing a pratfall, some sort of fall or skit or something, and he's in the background watching, and they just keep it in there. And it's so endearing to hear him just laughing and enjoying it in the background and, you know, in real time.
You know, it took me a while. I'm ashamed to admit. I remember mm-hmm. watching this as a child going, that sounds a lot like Desi. It's because it is Desi.
Because it is. Yeah. It's a very distinctive laugh. He has a very distinctive, very loud laugh. So you can't mistake who that is in the audience.
Yes. Yes. So I want to touch on, and we'll talk more about this in the actual episode and kind of go into it a bunch, but did you know that Lucille Ball almost drowned?
I did not know that. No.
Yeah, it was the famous grape stomping fight. Do you remember that in season
yes,
five?
Of course. Of course. Yeah.
So Desi had hired an actual, or the lady who was doing it was really, really into it, and she accidentally held Lucy under.
And she didn't speak English. Long. I do remember that. She did not speak English. Yeah. So she didn't know what the cues were. Right.
Right. And so she just held her under for too long and she almost drowned. It's a bit morbid, but I think that shows just she was just so dedicated to her work. And she would do stunts that, you know, could potentially put her life at risk, you know. You see it and you're like, that's really funny. And then you remember she was the one that was under there, you know. She
where most that. Actresses in that time, and probably now, I'm guessing, but would use stunt doubles for that reason. And she wanted to be part of it, feel it, experience it, and want have the audience feel it along with her. So if I'm having a hard time breathing, I want you to notice it. If I'm stuffing chocolates in my mouth with it on a conveyor belt, I want oh you to goodness. Really know that it's me doing it. And she did that throughout her entire, every aspect of the show. She wanted to know how to work the lights, how to write the scripts, how to manage every bit of it, which made her. It wasn't just, what's my line? I'll go out there, be funny, and leave. She was every part of that production.
There still are very few actors and actresses that do their own stunts. You know, you always mm-hmm. talk about stunt doubles and in podcasts that I listen to or other things, they'll talk about that one person who's just willing to do everything. and they talk about them with such awe, you know.
And I think that's what made her, I think we touched on this on the introduction episode, is that she was so willing to take anything that a comedic scene needed to make it funny. Right. Where most actresses, again, I go back to in that time, because women back then were just made for glamour. They were made as, you know, fair maidens who needed to be rescued. And she's just like, let me hang off a chandelier. I'm okay with that. I'll fall.
I'll rescue myself
and I'll make it funny while I'm doing it. Yes. And so she very much followed her idols, you know, the Red Skeletons and the Buster Keatons of the world. That's who she idolized, the men, because there weren't any women being funny when she was being funny. Right. So all her idols had to be men. Charlie Chaplin. You know, I think there was an episode where she dressed up as Charlie Chaplin. So, yes. You know, she very much followed the men and saw that in vaudeville, there were no women even then. So that you see that, and it helped her tremendously.
After the end of I Love Lucy, the Lucy Ball Desi Arnaz Comedy Hour starts.
Yes.
In 1957, and it runs till 1960. Mm-hmm. I have not watched a whole lot of those, to be honest, but I think I should now.
I think during those comedy hours is when they had many more guest stars on there. I think, yeah, you had Fernando Lamas on there. You had Edie Adams on there.
Did they have Carol Burnett?
They did not have Carol Burnett on there. Carol Burnett came later, I think, in this, I want to say the 70s.
Okay.
Which their friendship is something that it just blows my mind, because every single documentary I've ever seen on her, Carol Burnett is front and center, because she was her mentor, much like Lucille had hers. Lucy was Carol Burnett's mentor and her best friend, who would call her kid. She would call her kid. She'd say, you know, kid, and then continue with whatever industry, you know, inside information she had. And I think it was to the very last day, because she died on Carol Burnett's birthday.
Yes, right? So not only did she pass away on her birthday, but she, mm-hmm. Lucy sent her flowers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So thoughtful.
Yeah. And it's incredible that she got these flowers on her birthday the day that Lucille Ball passed away.
They still made it there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That must have been so hard, but also touching. I don't know. I would have felt so many things if that happened.
Have you ever seen episodes with Carol Burnett and Lucy acting together?
Oh my goodness, yes. In Here's Lucy and in The Lucy Show mm-hmm. that happened later on, she's in those, and they work so well together. You know, they just bounce off of each other, because Carol Burnett is just another... she's so funny. She's
so loud. You
swear
they're the same person.
Uh-huh. Yeah. yeah. So, yes, 1960, Lucy and Desi divorce. I mentioned that. But in 1961, Lucy marries again to producer Gary Morton.
Yes.
Do you know how much younger he was?
That I don't know. I do know he was a comedian, a stand-up comedian. I do know that. I think they were set up, if I'm not mistaken, through mutual friends. But I don't know what their age difference was.
13 years.
Wow.
He was 13 years younger. She had a thing for younger men.
Wow.
But apparently, according to him, he had never seen I Love Lucy.
I do remember seeing that. Yes. Yes. But what I do love is that even throughout all their recordings of the other shows, everybody got along very well. And everyone had a great relationship. I'm talking about Desi and Gary and Lucy.
Oh, yeah. And Lucy even, I think there was a quote that she basically said, you know, Desi's new wife is a nice girl.
Yeah.
You know, they realized they both moved on, you know, mm-hmm. and they both found love again, which is, you know, In 1962, the Lucy Show debuted. And this was with Lucy and Vivian Vance. It's interesting to note that in I Love Lucy, Vivian Vance goes by Ethel.
Yes.
And in every other appearance on the Lucy Show and Here's Lucy, she goes by Vivian.
Right.
Do you know why?
I don't.
She was never recognized as Vivian Vance. She was recognized as Ethel.
Yes.
People go, oh my gosh, hi Ethel. Or, you know, there's Ethel. Mm-hmm. And she went, I want to be known by my name.
Right. Right.
And so she made sure that that was something. And we'll talk more about that when we talk about her specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I just remember, like you said, they just call her Viv the entire time when they're stuck in that shower. Viv!
Yes.
Yeah. See, I don't know much about the later Lucy shows, but I do, that shower scene sticks with me.
Yes.
It's just comedy gold. But I mean, anybody listening, they know exactly what I'm talking about. That shower scene is just absolutely hilarious.
Okay, so I said the last verse was the first of being pregnant, but that's not true. The first verse that she set was having an interracial couple on TV. It was, yes, the first big first, you know?
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
Let's see how many times I can say first in these few sentences. Mm-hmm. The second one was being pregnant. And this third one is that she bought out Desi.
She
became the president of Desi Lee Productions in 1962.
Yes, that was unheard of. She was, like you said, the first.
The first and only female head of Hollywood production company at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think during that time, after they divorced, her and Desi struggled a bit because of his alcoholism. He had a really, yes, bad drinking problem. So he wasn't very reliable to continue being head of Desi Lu Productions, even though he'll tell you in the beginning of the shows, he's the president. She's the, yes, vice, she's president. The president. Yeah. So he had a hard time continuing to be head of this production company, and it's either you buy me out or I buy you out, and it ended up being that way.
In 1967, she sold Desi Lu to Golf and Western, and that's when she formed her own production company, Lucille Ball Production. They produced Lucy's third series, Here's Lucy, which is my personal favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And that ran from 1968 to 1974.
Now they, Golf and Western, got a heck of a steal on purchasing Desi Lu Productions. Do you know how much they paid for it?
No.
They paid $17 million to buy Lucy's 60% share of Desi Lu Productions. And the reason that I call it a steal is because not only did they get, you know, the sound stages, the property rights, all of that, they also got the rights to Star Trek. They got the rights, wow, to, yes, they got the rights to The Twilight Zone. They got the rights to Andy Griffith Show. I mean, just Star Trek alone made more than, enough to cover what they just purchased the entire production company for.
That is a steal. Goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's crazy.
But they made a good profit off of it because they purchased it for $5 million, the RKO Studios.
Okay.
Where they first met, which is a whole other story that we can get into. But yeah, it was full circle.
Yeah. I mean, that's... She sold it and she started her new production company, and that I think is what she was just trying to do, that. So it worked out for her mm-hmm. in that extent. On August 19th, 1979, Vivian Vance dies. I believe it was ovarian cancer.
Yes.
Yeah. She and Lucy were really close. I know that there were, you know, a lot of rumors about them having, you know, this big rivalry. I know that Lucy did make up joke contracts about Vivian not gaining more than five, or, right, you know, having to gain more than 5 pounds or something, and never having more laughs than her. But they were both open that those were joke contracts and not a real thing.
Right. Because Lucy was older than her, but watching the show, you wouldn't know that because she was much more frumpier, Vivian, maybe to match William Frawley's, you know, persona. And Lucille was, of course, a little more glamorous to be the younger couple on the show.
Yeah, but of course, when you see them all together, you go, something here is not right, and that's William Frawley. You know, you see, and there are times where you see just how beautiful Ethel is, you know, when she dresses up and stuff, and you can see that gap, you know, and there definitely was a big gap, and we'll talk about that.
I think you see a lot more of that during the country episodes. I think able to, when they live in the country, she dresses up a little more. Ethel does.
Well, May 18th, 1982, Lucy hosts a TV special called The Best of Three Company. And in 1984, Lucy is awarded the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts Lifetime Achievement Citation for acting.
Now, fun fact about that, Desi was supposed to be at this Kennedy Center honor, but he passed away before that occurred. So the speech was read for him. And if you ever listen to the speech, maybe we should play it at some point. It breaks your heart because it's so, he gives her all the credit. He says, you know, if you were to divide the credit for I Love Lucy or All Things Lucy, it's 90% Lucy, and then divide the other 10 amongst the other three, is what he said, because it was, you know, he gave her all the credit.
In 1985, she played another role. I think this role stands out quite a bit. Have you ever watched Stone Pillow?
I have. It's difficult to watch.
Not a comedy.
No, not at all. It's very difficult to watch because it's out of the comfort zone of what you're used to seeing Lucille Ball as.
Right. And not only, I mean, she was in 1985, she just decided, you know what? Let's try something new.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. In 1986, December 2nd, 1986, Desi dies of lung cancer. Mm-hmm. And then March 29th, 1989, Lucy made her last appearance in the 61st annual Academy Awards. And then
next to whom?
I don't know.
Bob Hope.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then in April 26, 1989, Lucy dies as well. She was recovering from heart surgery. Now, I missed something, and you're going to have to help me.
Okay.
There was a fourth show.
A fourth Lucy show, you mean?
Yes.
So we have I Love Lucy.
There was eight episodes of it. It did not.
Oh, where she played the grandmother, correct?
Yes.
Life with Lucy.
Life with Lucy. Okay.
Life with Lucy, yes.
Yes.
And which was not successful.
No.
It was not well received.
No. And I think one of the things she said was that what she thought was that that people weren't willing to see her as a grandma, you know, as this.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. They looked at it as Lucy doing skits as a grandmother was almost uncomfortable because it didn't feel right.
I watched it and it's actually not horrible. I don't dislike it. Mm-hmm. It's not one of my favorites, but I don't dislike it. But I could also see why, you know, maybe they
weren't too receptive of it.
Right. And I have to say the cast around it wasn't my favorite. I didn't enjoy it as much.
Yeah.
Actors mm-hmm. and actresses. So that's it. She passed away. But it's not it because she left such a huge, you know, stamp on this whole world. She was a four-time Emmy Award winner. Mm-hmm. She, in 1953, she got Best Comedian, and then Best Actress in 1956, an outstanding continued performance by an actress in leading role of comedy series in 1967 and in 1968. She also has two stars
on the
Hollywood Walk of Fame.
So one is for acting.
Yes.
and then the other, is it for producing?
Oh, so one of them is for, they're both for acting. One is for her work in television, and the other is her work in films.
I see.
Because she had such a, you know,
a huge impact on both.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
She was also named the Newsweek, named by Newsweek as the top female entertainer of the 20th century.
Yeah.
And she was awarded the President Medal of Freedom in 1989.
The posthumous, yes. So they gave that to her after she passed, yes.
Yes. And she was also nominated for 6 Golden Globes. One was for I Love Lucy. 2 of them were for her shows Here's Lucy. And 3 of them were for her work in films. MAME, The Facts of Life, and Yours, Mine, and Ours. So many awards, and not even enough, in my opinion.
And what's funny is, you may be done with her bio, but we could go on forever, because there's just so much in between every single thing that we hit on, that we could make this a 10-parter just on Lucille alone. I mean, I know I could.
Yes, I definitely think we can come back at another time and do even more. And if we get any questions from our followers, we can touch on those as well.
And so the email is havingaballpod@gmail.com, where they can send any either fun facts, questions, anything they want us to hit on.
Correct. And if they send a voice question, we can play it on the air. And then yes, we can answer it. So that would be really cool. We also have an Instagram and a Facebook. The Instagram is @havingaballpod.
Right.
And our Facebook is Having a Ball Podcast. And both of those will have pictures and stories that kind of go along with our podcast and what we've talked about in each episode. Yes. So when we talk about things like Lucille Ball and Chesterfield Cigarettes, we can post that and you can just go there instead of having to look up everything on your own.
Right, right, right. And to me, it's absolutely amazing when you join these either Facebook groups or any other type of Lucille Ball forums, because there's infinite amount of forums that come up with Lucille Ball or the Lucy Show. These little known photos that exist are just what I love. You know, her as a blonde, because she's naturally a blonde, or I'm sorry, naturally a brunette.
And brunette, then
during her blonde phase is just, which is like the 30s look, you know.
Yes.
That's my favorite. When you come across photos that you've never seen before, like, it's just a whole other era.
Oh, yeah. I definitely like, there are the photos that everyone knows, everyone sees. And then once you dive deeper, you get to, you know, more interesting photos. There's some photos of Desi and Lucy in their house, which is really cool, in Palm Springs.
And the one in, I think their ranch in Chatsworth.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's just really cool. It's cool that it's all out there to see. So yes, next week, we will talk about Desi Arnaz.
Yes.
And we will do a very similar thing where we talk about his childhood up into his career.
That is an interesting story. I mean, he's literally from riches to rags to riches is his story. So that's what makes that story interesting, I think, is what he came from opulence to absolutely nothing to who you remember now.
Yes. All right. Well, tune in next time. Thank you so much for listening.
This was fun. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.